It's good to be back with you after taking a few weeks off. Deb and I were traveling around Europe for a while there, and we were on a cruise for a couple of weeks, and we saw many things, and you're going to hear some of these things in the next few opportunities. I have a chance to share with you just experiencing life encountering the Lord as well. We were encountered with like 36 degree weather when you were in Europe, and it was hot, and it was that's why we got a little bit darker. We ate some good food as well. That's why we gained some weight. But it's good to be back with the family of God as we continue to journey through faith together in the things that we do. Let me just begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to meet with you this morning. We want an encounter with you, O God, that is real. We want us to be able to be transparent with you, O Lord God, to the point where we open our hearts, allow you to come in. I want to be able to hear from you this morning. Would you also hear our heart's cry as we bring to this worship even the things that we've experienced in life this past week or two? Father, see us as where we are. And by your Holy Spirit, would you minister to us, O God, in such a way that helps us to know that you are there, you are near, you're very close by. So thank you, God, for meeting us today, and I pray the Spirit of God will have freedom to move in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to bring something out which I haven't brought out for a while. I don't think, or ever. I was preaching in Cantonese service this morning, and you know, they don't use all these lights, right? They just use like some front lights and nothing at the back. So when it came to reading from my Bible, I literally stumbled many times reading only six verses. And so I'm learning from this morning. I see a couple of people who are here this morning who can vouch for that, who sat through the morning service. So I'm probably worse than Pastor Josh is. He's still very young compared to me. But I'm going to carry these with me today just in case I need to read my Bible, and we'll go from there. Now, you may have heard me say this before, you know, that when it comes to a prayer, there are basically three types of churches. There's a church with no prayer. There's a church with prayer. And there's a church of prayer. Now, here at Phraselands, we're not a church with no prayer, because we do have prayer at our church. But how do we move from being a church with prayer to being a church of prayer? You know, there's a big difference between being a church with prayer and being a church of prayer. A church with prayer has prayer meetings. Prayer happens when the church is gathered. It has a program of prayer. And maybe even on a few different nights of the week, be it Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday night. But this is not our ultimate goal, to just remain as a church with prayer. Our ultimate goal is to become a church of prayer. You know, prayer needs to be at the very forefront. It needs to be our natural response. It needs to be the natural instinct of people in our lives, in our families. You know, when we are dealing with difficult situations at home with our children, or with our spouses, when we're dealing with unreasonable bosses or co-workers that's hard to work with, when we're doing church ministry, it needs to be more than just an opening prayer and an ending prayer after a meeting is over. It needs to be a natural response, an instinct of the people of God. It needs to infiltrate the very core, the very DNA of a church and of the people of God. Now, becoming a church of prayer, becoming a praying church, is one of the most difficult things to do. It really is. And why is that? Because the enemy hates prayer. The enemy hates prayer, and he'll do anything to get us from becoming a church of prayer. He'll make us so busy that we don't have time to pray. He'll cause us to rely on ourselves and our own strengths, maybe even on our own spiritual giftings. He'll cause us to think, if God knows our needs, then why do we need to pray? The enemy knows that if there's no prayer, there's no renewal. If there's no prayer, there's no true spiritual renewal that will take place in the church or in our lives. Because true spiritual renewal is rooted in prayer, in our deep and intimate relationship with the Lord. And so the topic I want to address this morning is this: why we need to pray. Why we need to pray. And even as I was preparing the message this morning, I know the Lord is speaking to me first and foremost as the senior pastor. I know I struggle in this area. I know sometimes I let work get the best of me. And so would you pray for me as I and the elders and our pastoral staff lead this church? May we be examples of people who pray. And let's pray for one another in this way. Why we need to pray? Well, first, to love and have fellowship with God. You know, God wants us to love Him. He wants us to have fellowship with Him. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, it says, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. How did Enoch walk faithfully with God? Well, I believe it was through time spent in prayer with God that he related to God, that he got to know God, and that he fellowshipped with the Lord. And it pleased the Lord so much that he took Enoch from this earth without him having to experience death. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. This is quite interesting. It's actually quite revealing. Because Enoch wasn't known for what he did or for what he accomplished in his life, but rather for his love and for his fellowship with God. And Enoch did so as he communed with the Lord in prayer. Another person we can look at is King David. You know, David prayed for many things, but the one thing he says he prays for and desires is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. In Psalm 63:1, he prays, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17:3 and said, now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Not just to know about God. A lot of us know about God. Not just to know about God, but to truly know Him through fellowship in prayer. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said this, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. All this to say that we don't just speak to God in prayer. Prayer is not just us speaking to God, but also hearing from Him, having fellowship with Him, and experiencing Him. Isn't it true that when you spend time with someone, talking to them, being with them, listening to what's on their heart and mind, that you actually gain a love and an intimacy with that person? Now, Deb and I were away for 3 weeks. And for those 3 weeks, We literally spent morning, afternoon, and evening together. Especially when we were on that cruise for 2 weeks, we spent breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. We spent 63 meals together with my lovely wife. Some of you may think she's lovely. For the most part, she is. When you spend that much time with someone, you really get to hear their heart. They share with you their thoughts. They share with you their struggles. They share with you their fears, their issues at work. And when you're able to spend that time being with someone, hearing someone speak, and sharing your thoughts with them, your intimacy and your love for them grows immensely. And this is what the Lord wants us to do. You know, it's not just us spending time with God. The Lord wants to spend time with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to get to know us. And prayer is a gift from the Lord. It's a gift from the Lord for us to get close to Him and Him to get close to us. Why we need to pray? First, to love and have fellowship with God. And then second, to bring us back to God. You see, prayer is also a cry for help. It is us calling out to God to help us with our needs. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." James goes as far as to say that some do not have because they do not ask. And Jesus said something similar when he taught us, "Give us this day our daily bread." He's encouraging us. You know, they both are encouraging us. Both James and Jesus are encouraging us to ask of God, to ask from God. And God has promised that He'll help His children when we go to Him and ask of Him for help. So what does this tell us about prayer anyways? What can we learn from this about prayer? Well, it just so happens that God has decided to tie our needs to prayer. He has decided to tie our needs in life to prayer because of our independent, our self-sufficient old nature that is always inside of us, that's always coming out of us, that always wants to do life apart from God. But Jesus warned us in John 15, 4-5, that we're not designed to live life that way, apart from God. Jesus said, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so prayer brings us back to God. To God who is our provider, our sustainer, to the God who nourishes us and feeds us, to the God who is the lover of our soul. Prayer does that. It brings us back to God. And thirdly, it also changes us. It changes us. You know, when we're in God's presence through prayer, it changes us. How are we changed in prayer? Well, first, our desires are replaced by His desires. Isaiah was profoundly changed by his encounter with God in prayer. He wrote this in Isaiah 6, 1-7. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they're calling out to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Isaiah saw the holiness of God. And then he recognized his own sinfulness and he desired to be holy. Paul said in Philippians 2:3, for God is working in you. He's working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Where does God give us those desires? In prayer. It is when we are in prayer that God replaces our desires with his desires. As well, our understanding is changed. In Acts chapter 10, Peter was praying at noon, if you remember, and when he was confronted with a vision from God that challenged his whole thinking about Gentiles being included in the kingdom of God. You see, throughout his life, Peter had been taught that Jews were not to associate with or even to visit a Gentile. Though he did not understand the vision at first, the Lord later showed him that he should not call anyone unclean or impure what God has made clean. And so in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, he said this, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And so as Peter spoke, the Spirit of God came down on those who were gathered, and suddenly Peter understood the vision in prayer. It's when we are in prayer that God changes us. He changes us. He changes our desires, our worldview, our understanding. You know, I know that my perspective, my desires have been changed by God. Now, I was telling you how we went on this vacation. And as I was entering to this vacation, I said to myself, Deb, I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to eat with anyone. I just want to be by ourselves. And the first few days into that trip, I realized why I said that. I was so tired. I felt so tired. I was sleeping morning, afternoon, and evening the first few days. And so I made a commitment to myself, and I said to myself, Deb, we're going to be by ourselves. We're going to eat by ourselves. We're going to ask for a table or two whenever we go for a meal. And so the Lord allowed me to have those days. And then midway through the trip, I think the Lord was saying, time's up. We started to get to know some couples, two couples in particular, on our excursions and on those land tours that we took. And actually, we became friends with them. We started sharing stories, but my fear came that they would ask us to join them for a meal one time. And so we did this for a few days. We just hung around and just did different tours together. And then one night, sure enough, Deb came back to the room and said, guess what? One of the couples just asked us to share a table with them that night. And I said to myself, oh my goodness, I can't handle this. I just want to be by myself. Went to that dinner. We sat in a table of six. And they started sharing about their lives. They told us what they did. Both these men were part of the U.S. Air Force, flying planes, special ops. And so they had really interesting stories to tell about themselves, about what they did. And so they shared, their wives shared, and they turned to both Deb and I. So Deb and Abe, what do you guys do? And the reason I don't want to have meals with people is I don't want to tell people I'm a pastor. It happens every trip. I just want to have a trip where I just can be like anonymous and not have people think differently of me when I tell them what I do. And so I let Deb go first. I said, honey, you go ahead. She told people that she's an accountant. And no, they took really real interest in her and her how she had to, you know, do all the things that she does. And then the dreaded moment came. So, Abe, what do? Well, I was an architect for 15 years. But about 15 years ago, God called me into ministry. And I actually didn't want to share that much. I was very, very careful not to oversay things. And so I just kind of went very highlights of how God called me and da-da-da and all that. I didn't elaborate whatsoever. And then all these four people we had dinner with, the person that was what I thought had the hardest heart was very stern because she was part of the army too. No, she was part of police force. This lady was in the police force, so she was pretty stern. After I had shared briefly my testimony, my story, my calling, she started asking questions. So how do you know God was calling you? Well, because I heard his voice. How did you know? Why were you able to leave architecture to go into ministry? Well, because I sensed God's deep love calling me. And so she went on for a little bit, just asking more and more questions. I don't know what's going to come out of that. I don't know if our story would have brought them one step closer to wanting to find out who God is for themselves. But all I can say to you is, God changes us. He desires to change us. And even though we don't want to do something, when we're in prayer with God, he'll want to change our heart. And you know what? To tell you honestly, I'm glad I had that conversation with them. I'm glad we spent that meal with them. The rest of the trip, we just hung around in our cells and just became hermits again. Why do we need to pray? To love and to have fellowship with God, but also so that God can love and have fellowship with us. And secondly, I forgot my points now, to bring us back to God as we go to him for needs and prayer, to change us, and then fourthly, to strengthen us for the battle. To strengthen us for the battle. I know Pastor Josh has been trying to equip some of you for the spiritual battle that we're going through. And we are going through a spiritual battle. Believe me, if we want to be a church that's renewed by God, if we want to have spiritual renewal in our lives, in the lives of our family, the lives of our fellowship, our small group, our church, there's going to be a big spiritual battle. There already is. So why do we need to pray? In order to strengthen ourselves for the battle. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were speaking to a crowd that had gathered to hear them after they had healed this lame man that was crippled from birth. But Peter and John were arrested. They were threatened not to preach in Jesus' name again, and then they were released. And upon their release, they reported this to the church in Jerusalem, who then raised their voices together in prayer for God, to God. And one of the things they prayed for was the courage to face the impending persecution that's ahead. And God responded by filling all of them with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4:31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. In Ephesians 6, after describing the pieces of armor that were to put on for spiritual battle, the Apostle Paul ends in verses 18 to 20 by urging us to pray, 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 and pray. To pray in the Spirit on all occasions. To always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. To pray also for me, he says. Pray that I may declare the gospel fearlessly as I should. Jesus himself, we read many times through the Gospels, he often withdrew to lonely places, and he himself prayed to the Father for strength. How much more do we need to do so? And then fifthly, to actively participate in kingdom advancement. so that the kingdom of God can advance, so it can move forward in the world. And so you may be thinking to yourself, isn't it a waste of our time to ask for something that's going to happen anyways? Isn't God's kingdom going to advance with or without our prayers? But Jesus told us to pray for God's kingdom to come and for God's will to be done. Now, the story of Elijah praying for rain after a 3-year drought is a very good example for us to look at. In 1 Kings 18:1, after 3 or so years of God's judgment upon Israel, God spoke to Elijah and said, "Go and present yourself to Ahab the king, and I will send rain on the land." And so let me ask you, whose idea was it? Whose initiation was it? Whose will was this? It was God's will. And so if it's God's will and he is sovereign, then isn't it going to happen anyways? Why do we need to do anything? Why do we need to pray? It needed Elijah's perseverance in prayer. Praying 7 times, it says in 1 Kings chapter 18, 44. And then finally the rain came, enacting God's will on earth. Elijah's perseverance in prayer enacted God's will on earth. Now, did Elijah's prayers really cause the rain? Or was it just a coincidence that he was praying when God sent it? Let's read James chapter 5 and see what it says. It says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. You know, that's very comforting for me to know. Elijah wasn't this all-powerful prayer warrior. He wasn't this person who was mighty in faith in terms of who he was, in terms of being supernatural in that way. He was a human being. He was a human being, just as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed. And it tells us in 1 Kings 18, it was 7 times that he prayed. And the heavens gave rain. And the earth produced its crops. So indeed, Elijah's prayers did make a difference. And then as you know, in the New Testament, the early church was continually in prayer. They were a church of prayer. When they prayed for Peter in Acts chapter 12, he was miraculously released from prison as he was about to face pending execution. I'm showing you a fresco painting that I saw at the Vatican in Rome when we were there just a month ago. It was painted by Raphael in the 16th century, depicting Acts chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. And let me just read that to you with my glasses on. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the 1st and 2nd guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of 1 street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When we pray, when we pray, the kingdom of God is advanced. And this is all in line with Jesus' teaching on prayer. When he taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, Jesus was saying that their prayers were the means by which they were to bring God's will in heaven to bear on earth. Our prayers are the means by which we bring God's will in heaven to bear and to take place on earth. Why do we need to pray? To love and have fellowship with God. Why do we need to pray? To bring us back to God. To change us. To strengthen us for the battle. To actively participate in kingdom advancement. And finally, at least for today anyways, to receive divine guidance for living and ministering. We need to be able to hear God. We need to be able to hear God in prayer so that the Spirit of God can direct us where He wants us to go in our everyday lives. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, the angel of the Lord told Philip to leave the very successful ministry that he was having among the Samaritans in Jerusalem and instead to go to the desert. And Philip did not even know what he was to do or who he was to meet there. But while he was there, he met one person. He met one person, an Ethiopian eunuch. If I was him, I would say, "Are you serious? Leaving a large, successful ministry to minister to one individual?" And little did Philip know that this one person, this one individual, after receiving Christ, would then go and impact an entire continent for Christ. Imagine that. And then in Acts 16, you know, there was Paul and his companions. They wanted to minister in the province of Asia and Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, they got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach the gospel to them. And that is how the gospel entered into Europe. Who would have thought? Who would have thought except by the Spirit's leading? Now, for those of you who've been at church this past year, you know that that is how our new venture in Montreal got started, right? You know that. It wasn't our idea as a church. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't the elder board's idea. It wasn't Pastor Joseph's idea to start a new venture in Montreal. But it was the Lord's divine guidance through prayer and us acting upon His leading that showed us what God wanted us to do in Eastern Canada, in Quebec, in the least reached people group in all of the Americas. You know, God wants us, Fraser Lands Church, He wants us. He wants Pastor Joseph. He wants the Canadian Pacific District. He wants the St. Lawrence District. He wants the New Ventures people in our country. He wants the CNMA in Canada to partner together to reach the people in Quebec with the gospel. But how do we receive God's divine guidance for living? We talked about ministry, right? We talked about how He led Philip and He led Paul. But how do we bring this closer to home? How do we receive God's divine guidance for living? How do we hear the Lord? I actually promised not to share this story publicly, but I think I will. The reason I didn't want to share this story publicly is because I didn't want my mother-in-law to find out about it. We were in London last few days before coming back to Vancouver. And we had heard from many people, when you're in Spain, when you're in Portugal, just make sure you hang on things tight. You know, we've known people who've actually lost cell phones or things like that. And so we were super guarded in Spain and in Portugal. We hugged things to ourselves. We were hiding things in our pockets and everything else. So we were very, very, very careful about pickpockets. And then the last few days after our cruise, we stopped in London and we spent some time there. And Deb and I wanted to just walk through some neighborhoods. And so we were walking through some neighborhoods. And we walked through this one pretty posh neighborhood, like really nice houses. You know, doors were 10 feet tall. Doorknobs were this size. And they were very, very well off, this area. And we're walking along, and Deb had made a comment, "I would like to live here." I said, "Yeah, sure, Deb, as if we can afford it." And as we're walking along the street, we stopped at the stoplight. I was standing here, Deb was standing there, a person had come up to me and stood there, and he asked me, "So, where are you guys from?" I said, "Oh, we're from Canada. Where are you from?" And he said, "Oh, he's from Spain." I was like, "Oh, I wasn't just in Spain. We were up to a few cities there." And so I started this conversation with him, right? And as I was starting this conversation, he started asking me more things, like, "Where are you guys going?" I said, "Oh, we just wanted to walk around, do some shopping." And he said, "Oh, where do you want to go?" "Oh, we just wanted to walk around." And then we got to about another few blocks away. And then all of a sudden, two guys started coming behind us. And they were approaching us pretty quickly. And as they got close to us, the guy quickly took the guy I was talking to and started questioning him. And then when one guy did that, the other guy took me and started questioning me, saying things like, "You know, why did you talk to this person? Didn't you know he was wanted by the police?" I said, "No, I didn't know that. I mean, he just asked me a few questions, and I just started talking to him." And, you know, meanwhile, my wife, she was like 10 feet ahead of me already. You know, she was going like this to me, right? And I thought it'd be rude to leave that conversation. So he started asking me for ID and all that. And I said, "Well, you know, I started feeling a bit uneasy already." And then he said he's going to bring me into the station and all that. And then he started doing this. You know what that is? You know when someone does this, what happens? At least in TV and movies. They're calling for help. They're calling for backup. They're pretending to be undercover cop calling for backup so that they could bring us in somewhere. And it was at that moment that I sense, at least inside of me, or the Spirit speaking to me, run. Like, run. Like, get out of there. Like, go to your wife. Like, go protect her. And so I did. I just took off. I don't know what would happen. I didn't let the story play out. I'm glad I didn't. But who knows? You could have been looking for another senior pastor. No, I thought I could have been mugged. I felt they could have tried to trap me, take me to the station, and I don't know what would happen, kind of thing. Or at least steal what's in my pockets, right? And there was a reason for why I told that story. Sometimes the Spirit of God just wants to speak to us in the very everyday things of life. Are we willing to listen to His prompting? Are we willing to listen when He tries to warn us of certain things? Are we willing to listen when He says to us, "Don't go there. Stop. Think twice before doing that." To receive divine guidance for living and for ministering. How do we do this? I want to encourage you, and I know that this may not be relevant to too many people, but I do want to encourage you to attend our Hearing God seminar. I know some of you have gone through that already, but I want to encourage you to attend the Hearing God seminar so that we as a church, you as an individual, you as a family, can begin to learn to hear God's voice We are offering it this term, but it is in the Cantonese Mandarin Sunday School. So if you speak English or Cantonese, both those languages will be spoken as we teach this course in October. Nonetheless, we'll probably run it again in the new year. I also want to encourage you to join our prayer summit on September 29th as we pray together as a church and to learn to hear the Lord together. How the prayer summit will work is that on the last Sunday of each month, I will preach the same message to the entire church, to the Cantonese and Mandarin in the early morning, and then to the English and teens at 11 o'clock. And after that message is preached, we gather together as a church in the afternoon, and we're praying into this message that God has given to us that day. We're praying the same passage of Scripture that is brought before us, asking God to show us as individuals and as a church what He wants to say to us. I think it'll be a very wonderful time. I think it'll be a very meaningful time. I think it'll be a very unifying time, especially as we want to hear God and His heart on the future direction of our church. You see, part of hearing God is learning to hear His voice, learning to discern God's voice. And as we do this, as we read the Bible, as we study Scripture, as we meditate on God's Word personally for ourselves and our lives, as we write down our conversations with God, those of you who've taken the Hearing God seminar already know that we encourage people to journal. To journal and write down your conversations with the Lord on a daily basis so that you can go back and kind of discern if that is the Lord speaking to you or other voices in your life. And so that we can share our thoughts with the Lord as we journal and write things down. And for Him to speak to us, to speak to you personally and intimately. And in order for us to have these conversations with the Lord, we need to review them. Sometimes we just speak to the Lord out loud, right? And that's fine. But if we can journal our thoughts, if we can write down our conversations with God, then we can review them afterwards to discern more clearly if this is from the Lord, to discern the voice of God. And I'm very excited to bring to your attention, our admin team had put together a couple of journals for us, actually. One is like this, has this type of cover to it. It's the Church Renewal Sermon Series image. And then the other one is it's our Prayer Summit image. And these are journals that we just made up so that you can pick up at a very nominal cost. Because we want to encourage you, church, to hear God's voice, to discern His divine guidance upon your life, and to encourage you to do so on a regular basis so that you can lead your families well, that you can work in an environment at work where you are being the best witness possible, so we as a church can move forward in the direction that God wants us to take. You can pick some of these up later in the foyer. But I want to just encourage you. There's one thing that we need to do, that we should do, that would help us as we move forward together, is to spend time with the Lord, to really hear His heart for you. God has so much He wants to say to you. I know that when I finally quiet myself down, the Lord is speaking volumes to me. He's sharing His heart with me. He's pouring out His love to me. And if we as pastors can encourage you to walk in that way, I think we would have done our job to lead you to the Lord, to lead you to His presence where you can hear from Him directly what He wants to say to each one of us. Let's close off by praying together, shall we? Father God, we truly are humbled when we are in your presence. Because we know that although you are a high and mighty and powerful and sovereign and omniscient God, omnipotent God, omnipresent, that you would actually take the time to intimately spend with each one of us. And you desire to spend that time with us. Lord God, do what it takes to reorientate our lives. Do what it takes to reorientate my life. That there'll be spaces in my day where I will come before you. I will listen to you, O God. I will listen to your heart for your bride. I'll listen to your heart for our leaders of the church, for our elders, for our deacons. I'll listen to your heart, O Lord Jesus, for the things you want to reveal to Fraser Lands. Father God, we need you. We're desperate for you. We look to you, O Lord Jesus, for all the things that we do in our everyday lives. We commit ourselves to you, O God, knowing that you have the best plan for us. You know us so well. So Spirit of God, come. Freely come into our lives and draw us into your presence through prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.